stand nobly brave and tall, and join this glorious fight.
Hello, my cute little chicks. We are going to hop over to some of Nephi's teachings today. So we have finished Isaiah's prophecies for the time being, and now Nephi wants to share some stuff with us and with his posterity. A lot of Isaiah's prophecies were very hard for Nephi's people to understand because they didn't understand the history of the Jewish people the same way that we can understand it now. Remember, they were living around the same time that the Babylonians had captured the Jews in Jerusalem, so they didn't know what happened after that. And we live over 2,000 years after these things happened to them, so we have things like history books and the internet and historians and years of research and also other scriptures that help us understand Isaiah's teachings. They didn't understand any of those things. So Isaiah's writings can be hard to understand when you don't know anything about the countries or rulers or kingdoms of his time. It would be like trying to explain to an ancient Jew what the American Revolutionary War was like when they have no idea where New York or London is or who George Washington or King George is. It would make more sense to Americans, of course, but not to ancient Jews unless they took the time to learn the history of the country. So that's the same way with us and others learning about Isaiah's writings. We have to be familiar with the kingdoms of his time and the cities and the history of the nations and the battles that they had. Well, since the Jews in Jerusalem when Nephi lived there had a lot of traditions that were dark and wicked and abominable, he chose not to teach his family a lot of those things after they started building their own communities in the Promised Land. Even though his people didn't understand a lot of Isaiah's writings because they were unfamiliar with the Jewish nation and traditions, Nephi still liked to quote Isaiah because he wanted to prove to his people and everyone who reads his words that God would judge all nations and decide whether or not they were righteous or wicked. Nephi said, "Everyone who is part of the house of Israel, including my own children and family, please listen to me. Even though it's hard for you to understand Isaiah, remember that anyone can understand his words if they have the Holy Ghost with them to help them understand what he means. I have the Holy Ghost with me. It's also called the Spirit of Prophecy. So now I will make a clear and plain prophecy for you right now, since I love to speak to you in plain words, so that you can learn from me and understand me. My own soul delights in Isaiah's words, since I am from Jerusalem and seen for myself how the Jews live. I know it's hard for anyone who is not a Jew to fully understand the words that the prophets have written specifically for them. So I've taught my own kids about God's judgments and destructions that came from the Assyrians before I lived in Jerusalem. But I'm not going to write them here. Instead, I'm going to make my own prophecy that in the future, when Isaiah's prophecies have been fulfilled, everyone who learns of them can know exactly when they were fulfilled. Isaiah's prophecies are very important and are worth a lot to God's children. But I'm going to speak to those who do not believe in Isaiah's prophecies, particularly my own posterity who will not believe in his prophecies in the last latter days. Just like many Jews grew wicked and were destroyed by the Assyrians and then the Babylonians, that same type of destruction will happen over and over again if they keep choosing wickedness instead of righteousness. And the Lord's prophets will always warn them about their potential destruction, just like my own dad Lehi and other prophets tried to warn them about their upcoming destruction by the Babylonians. But would the Jews listen to them? No. They hardened their hearts, and according to my own prophecy, many of them were destroyed by the Babylonians, and some of them were carried away to Babylon. I also prophesy that some of them will return to Jerusalem again at a future date, and the Jews will live in Judea again. But then they will have even more wars and rumors of wars. And when the day comes that Heavenly Father's only begotten Son,
will come to live among them, they will reject him because of their iniquities and hard hearts and stiff necks. They will crucify him, and after his body has laid in the sepulcher for 3 days, he will be resurrected and will rise with healing in his wings, which means that he will have the power to heal and save anyone who turns to him in faith. Oh, my soul delights to prophesy about Christ, since I have seen him and his day for myself, and my heart magnifies his holy name. I want the whole world to know about him. Now, sometime after Christ is resurrected and has shown himself to some of the believing Jews in Jerusalem, Jerusalem will be destroyed again. You see, only misery comes to those who fight against God and his saints. And this time, after this destruction, the Jews will be scattered around the entire world by nations other than Babylon, since they themselves will have been destroyed at this point by the Persians. And after the Jews have been scattered and bullied by other nations for years and years and years, the day will come that they will finally be persuaded to believe in Christ and his atonement. They will finally worship Heavenly Father with pure hands and clean hearts, and they won't be waiting for anyone else who they think is the Messiah to save them. And then the Lord will perform a marvelous work and a wonder among his children, and he will give them this book, my writings, the Book of Mormon. And he will also give them other scriptures that will help convince them that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah, who their ancestors rejected and crucified. Remember, the Jews living during Christ's time won't believe that he is who he says he is. They will be waiting for someone else to come save them. And actually, there will be many false messiahs who will try to convince the Jews that they can save them. But there is only one Messiah, according to the prophets, and he is the one who will be rejected by the Jews. According to the prophets, the Messiah will be born on the earth 600 years after my family left Jerusalem. And just like Jacob taught us, he will be named Jesus Christ. Now, everyone reading my words, I have spoken so plainly that you cannot misunderstand me. Just like it was true that God helped Moses bring the Israelites out of Egypt and protected them in the wilderness, it is also true that there is no one else except for Jesus Christ who can save any of God's children. God has promised me that my words on these plates will be kept safe and saved so that he can keep his covenant that he made with Joseph of old, that Joseph's posterity would never die off as long as the earth was standing. My words and teachings will be given to generation after generation so long as God decides that they should be made available. And my teachings and the teachings of other prophets will be used to judge all nations that have them. I and all other prophets work diligently to write, to persuade our families and friends to believe in Christ and to turn to God, since we know that even after all we can do for ourselves, it is only through Christ's grace and mercy that we can be saved. And yes, we believe in Christ, and we believe that someday he will fulfill the law of Moses so that we don't need to follow it anymore, even though we do now. You see, the law of Moses was given to help us remember Christ and draw all our attention to him. But it's not the laws themselves that save us, which is what some of those wicked Jews in Jerusalem believed. So we will continue to keep the laws of Moses, just as we have been commanded to do. But we really know that our strength and power and faith comes from Christ and not the laws. You see, we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, and we prophesy of Christ, and we write our prophecies down so that our children and future posterity and anyone who reads our words will know where they can turn to for a remission of their sins or to have their sins taken away. And we speak a lot about the law of Moses so that our posterity can understand that the law is dead, meaning that strict obedience to the laws themselves can't give us eternal life. But Christ gives us life, and having a relationship with him gives us life. Someday when Christ comes to the earth, he will fulfill the law and put an end to animal sacrifices. He will institute the sacrament, and it will be a huge change for those who have kept the law of Moses their whole lives. So we will keep teaching about both Christ and the law of Moses so that those big changes won't feel so confusing and overwhelming for those who are living at that time. We want them to turn towards Christ instead of away from him just because they don't like the changes that will come to the laws after he has lived on the earth. Then Nephi said, "Now, my posterity, I have seen in visions that you will be stiff-necked, and so I have chosen to speak to you as plainly as possible so that you cannot misunderstand me at all. My words are true and will stand as a testimony against you, which means that they will prove your wickedness if you choose to turn away from them when you are judged by God someday. I tell you that the right way to live is to believe in Christ. You must worship him with all your might, all your mind, all your strength, and your whole entire soul. And if you do this, you will not be kept out of heaven. And please, please remember to keep the law of Moses and turn your hearts to Christ until he fulfills the law of Moses himself." All right, my little chicken lickens, that is the end of our story for today. And I'm excited to share even more about Nephi's teachings with you next time. In fact, we are getting to the end of Nephi's teachings before we jump into what his brother Jacob had to tell us. So this last part of what Nephi taught us, the next few stories that I'm going to tell you, are very, very important. They're some of my favorite scriptures from the Book of Mormon. And Nephi speaks very plainly to us about how we can develop a relationship with Christ. I love them, and I hope you will too. So until next time, I hope you have a beautiful life. Goodbye.